A few years ago, Portland State archaeologist Sarah Sterling was working on a dig at an ancient tribal village site in Port Angeles, Washington. She noticed something curious.
And in the course of kind of putting together post-excavation analysis, I observed a series of gaps in my radiocarbon sequence.
Those gaps suggest the waterfront village was periodically abandoned every few hundred years. Sterling wondered if the explanation might be killer tsunamis. And that's how she fell in with a cadre of geologic history detectives. They're scattered at universities and geological surveys from Vancouver, Canada to California. For several decades, these researchers have scoured the Pacific coast for evidence of old earthquakes and tsunamis. Now it was Sterling's turn to wade into scarcely examined coastal marshes west of Port Angeles.
Taking the gouge core, twisting it into the ground, pulling up the dirt clod.
She and her collaborators then examined that long sediment core for deposits left behind by ancient tsunamis. Sometimes no digging is required. A cut bank in a river bend reveals all.
So you're really looking for a clear sand layer up against old marsh deposits. So you'll have very dark brown organic material suddenly interspersed with a clean layer of sand and then the sequence continuing below.
Here's how researchers believe a great earthquake leaves its signature.
The first step is a downdrop, so the original surface drops down and then the wave or the water rolls in, brings sand or roils up sands in its path and then recedes.
One sign it was a tsunami, tiny marine fossils in that sand layer. That's evidence it came in on a surge from the ocean, not via a river flood or wind event. Finally, researchers tried to date the event through radiocarbon testing of any plant material found next to the tsunami deposit. Portland State University geology professor Kurt Peterson led a separate team to the tip of Washington's Olympic Peninsula. The results are about to be published in a science journal. In that paper, Peterson describes evidence of four major tsunamis that he found in the wetlands between Macaw Bay and Nia Bay.
There's one at 300 years ago. There's one at about 800, one at about 1100, and one at about 1300.
Years ago. Notice the amount of time between catastrophes. It varies by hundreds of years, which is why Peterson says it's hard to say whether we're overdue for the next big one.
So whether to go with the 500-year event, which means you have 200 years left, nothing to worry about, or the 300-year recurrence interval, in which case it could happen tomorrow.
Peterson says because of the uncertainty,
it's probably better just to be prepared.
That's a philosophy the chief hazards geologist for Washington State would agree with. Tim Walsh makes tsunami inundation maps so coastal residents and tourists can know if they're in harm's way. Walsh says he uses the historical detective work of Peterson and others to cross-check his present-day models.
It lends credibility to a tsunami hazard map if you can show that there is evidence of past tsunamis having inundated that same area.
Walsh says in the case of Nia Bay, his estimate of the wall of water from an offshore megaquake matches up closely with past history. Both scenarios would see nearly all of the present-day town of Nia Bay flooded or washed away. I'm Tom Bonsi in Portland.